This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Signing off of sports for the summer. It ended last night with the Stanley Cup. Don't give me Wimbledon. Don't give me Tour de France. I mean, as we've said, baseball trying to do a good job of staying in the headlines last night. We'll see how long that keeps up. We got a couple more golf majors, right? At least one. No, just one. One more golf major.
The Open.
And then golf's done.
Yeah, what is this? Sports? Well, actually, sports aren't over, Hayes Permar.
Don't say lacrosse. Don't say lacrosse. All right, so you can't say anything. All right, so sports are over. I don't even know. What is the lacrosse schedule? Did they just start the season?
They're 4 weeks in, so they have six games left or 6 weeks of play plus an all-star weekend, then playoffs.
So it's a 10-week season, then an all-star, then a playoff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll finish up mid-September.
We should have sports right now. We got nothing. We should have some of the most compelling sports there are, because you'll remember, oftentimes during the summer, we get one of two things. Either an Olympics, which is cool. I love an Olympics. Sometimes they have to put them a little bit later in the summer, but I like them when they're in that, like, you know, July, August. Right, that sweet spot where there's nothing going on. It's the best time for Olympics. But even August is okay. I don't need to get too ramped up for football until September, October. The other sometimes sports savior in the summer is the World Cup. And again, I don't want everyone mad at me. I'm saying sports are over. I realize that we've got MLS going on. We've got NWSL. We've got WNBA. We've got a lot of great sports. I'm just kidding. But we traditionally have talked about four major sports: NFL, NHL, NBA, and MLB. Obviously, NFL ends with the Super Bowl. NHL and NBA have wrapped in the past couple weeks. And then Major League Baseball just goes on forever, right? The sport that we should be having. Well, let me start with this. The two wealthiest, biggest, most powerful sports organizations in the world are the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, and FIFA, who runs soccer in the World Cup. I forget what the Federation of International Football Association, something like that. I don't know, football, whatever. International Olympic Committee, FIFA. They're the biggest. They have the most money. Not surprisingly, the largest, most rich sports entities also just happen to be the most corrupt sports entities that we have in the world.
No, right? You mean the places that bring in a lot of money have
the ones with the most
sports,
money have the most corruption.
Nope.
And
everything's
still don't,
clean.
Like, this is the craziest part about this. So the World Cup's going to be in Qatar. It's like everyone knows. You don't have to know soccer. You don't have to know much about Qatar. You don't have to know much about the world or the fact that it's 150 degrees there average, like, year-round, to know that it just doesn't make sense to put the World Cup in Qatar. And the fact that it won a bid from the time that it won all the way up to the time that we have it, anybody who cares to spend 2 minutes thinking of this would say, now, wait a minute. There's no logical reason to put it in Qatar. So obviously, this is nefarious and dirty and corrupt. I don't need to be able to prove who got paid off. I don't know if it's the head of FIFA, the next guy in charge, the top five, eight of the top 10, whatever. I don't know. Need to know how they're bribing them. Do they give them cash directly? Do they give them oil shares? Whatever it is, we just know somehow Qatar and the people that back Qatar threw a boatload of money to make sure that they got the World Cup. And for that reason, again, you're asking the people who run the corruption to step in and stop it themselves. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And I don't know who you appeal to other than the bodies that run these sports, but it is just ridiculous that as fans, and I'm not even a big fan, but when the World Cup is being played, A, you get behind your own country. It's cool, you know, when they're actually in it, but especially when they're good. Some of my best sports moments have been jumping on the bandwagon of Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey and the U.S. men's national team when they actually are doing something. Those are incredible sports moments. And then there's other good stories that come out of it. Small country here, you know, is making a run, or your team's out, but you get to pick a country to, you know, bandwagon on or whatever, or a team to, like, root against. World Cup, just compelling drama. And you see these countries where, like, you know, the entire life stops to watch their games, especially as they advance further and further. And all of this should be happening right now. Now, I don't know what the schedule looks like in other places. I don't know what Spain, for example, I don't know what they're doing without a World Cup this summer that they would be. Now, I'm sure that the people who own the bars and the pubs and the places where you go to watch games on TV are mad at their loss of revenue. Maybe it'll be the same when they have it in December there. I don't know. But I don't know if they're saying, yeah, we would get a much bigger impact in the summer. But in the United States, I can tell you 100%. A, I equate soccer in my head as more of a summer sport because I'm so much devoted to the World Cup or the international tournaments, which happen to be more in the summer. I know most people, if you follow, you've got like an EPL team or some league team that's playing, you know, a different schedule. But so I know there are bars and restaurants and places that the last time there was the World Cup set up their whole like schedule and menu and stuff around games, whether it was United States games or other games, or just big games in general. So those places are hurting without it. And then, the other places that's hurting, TV.
Mm-hmm.
They right now would have a huge TV product. Instead, we're going to be playing this World Cup in November and December, right when like final weeks of college football are. It starts basically around the time Thanksgiving's happening. So rivalry weeks in college football games are going on. NFL games are heating up.
Yeah, playoff push is going on for that.
Basketball has begun. NBA's up. College basketball has begun.
NHL will be underway as well.
I'm not saying that people won't watch the World Cup. They will. I'm just saying, for me personally, very selfishly, as I often do, but also for a lot of other people in this country, it would have been really, really nice, really cool, really fun to have the World Cup right now. And the reason we don't is the same reason why, like, hundreds of migrant workers that unfortunately nobody in the world cares about because they were probably poor and not spoken for and don't have representation. The same reason I get to complain about not watching my games, a very first world problem in the summer when I have no other sports, is the same reason why a bunch of people have died in, you know, a poorly regulated country for construction like Qatar. And it is because rich people gave a bunch of money to other rich people so that they could have their prize toy of hosting a World Cup in their country. They even had the audacity to say, no, we'll still hold it in the summer at first.
Yeah.
And like the people, the powers that be took the money and said, yeah, that'll probably happen. They said they were going to build huge air conditioners above the stadium, like just ridiculous comic book style stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not to knock on comic books.
No, I accept it.
But it reminds me of like, you know, in the Avengers movies when they have the aircraft carriers, but they're the one that like, it was like they were going to have helicarriers park over the top of stadiums to give them big shade.
There you go.
And then maybe like turn on some sprinklers or whatever they did. A misting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff. And the entire world just said, no big deal. I'm sure that's on the up and up. And we, again, I say we, there's nothing we could have done. When billionaires get together, they're going to make the decisions they want to make. And the decision they made was to have the freaking World Cup. One of, if not the coolest sporting events there is, and it's not even like the one I grew up loving the most, but I can tell you it is one of the coolest, if not the coolest, should be right now. We should be enjoying it. We should be able to say America plays Italy tonight. let's all go to the brewery after this game and get hyped and watch it. And instead, we'll be trying to squeeze it in between NC State, UNC on a Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a Carolina Hurricanes game will be up against a World Cup, Brazil versus England or something. It just sucks. And there's no answer. Again, when rich people get together, it's hard to stop them from doing what they want to do.
I will say the one benefit with it being in Qatar. No, just saying. Let me finish.
I can't let you finish.
It's 7 hours or so ahead of us.
So
we're going to get morning games.
Does that mean we're going to get... One time it was in Asia, and it was like 2 a.m. games.
Yeah. Well, it's only 7 hours ahead.
All right, so we're going to get 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. games?
It's 9:30 p.m. basically out there in Qatar, which means right now, let's say if there was a 7 o'clock local time game, here would be a noon, which would be fun.
I'm not interested in silver linings right now. I'm not interested.
But here's the thing. If it's also like a noon game out there, it's 5 in the morning here. So Josh Goodson gets to watch all of the games.
There
lucky
we go.
Him.
Who is the best-looking dog in the world? It was decided. But more importantly, what's the ugliest dog in the world? We'll tell you next.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Hey, I want to send a shout out to the National Sports Media Association having their gathering going on in Winston-Salem right now. It includes an awards banquet tonight where they give out the broadcaster and writer of the year in each state, as well as Hall of Fame nominations, or Hall of Fame inductees, and national sports writer and broadcaster winner. It's always a cool gathering, and cool that we have that right here in North Carolina for a long time, hosted in Salisbury, because it was tied to what college was it? Is it Shawan?
Catawba,
thank you. I knew it was one of those Native American-based name colleges that we have. Catawba College. For a long time, now in Winston-Salem, so shout out to the National Sports Media Association and their executive director, Dave Gorin, who do a lot of great work. He's built that into a great program, and I hope they have, again, they've got like conferences, lectures, talks, what's the word I'm going for, a keynote, speak, whatever.
Sure.
Stuff going on today.
Speeches.
And then an awards ceremony going on tonight. Speaking of awards.
Adam Gold being honored, by the way.
Oh. Well, I probably should mention that then.
Yes.
I thought that I probably knew who they were, and there was is that why he's not here?
Yes.
Oh, well, then we definitely should. Why didn't we lead the show talking about this? Now I feel like a total jerk. I had to clarify how I felt about him as a golf dork. Instead, I should have been clarifying that he is the North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. Being my excuse, can I make an excuse?
Sure.
It's COVID. Like, we've been thrown all out of whack. I knew that Adam Gold had won it, but then they had a reception in the fall because they were making up from last year's or whatever. So anyway, I did not realize that he was just being awarded it now. I knew that he would be given it. I did not realize it. So congratulations to Adam Gold. Do you know who the Sports Writer of the Year is?
I think it's Joe Person of The Athletic, I believe. Covers the Carolina Panthers.
Congratulations to both those folks. Oftentimes, you'll find that other state winners are folks who have spent time in our state, either in their career or attended school or are from here. So a lot of folks end up on that list that have North Carolina ties. But congratulations to the host of this show, Adam Gold, on being named the North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. Once again, I probably should have hit that a couple more times in the show. But fortunately, Adam doesn't care about such things, and he might have me back anyway. Speaking of awards, anything else I should know that I will feel dumb about if I don't say on that front?
No, I think you're good.
Okay, all right. Speaking of awards, the 146th Westminster Dog Show took place this weekend. Now, I used to hate the Westminster Dog Show. Do you know why? You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Because the Westminster Dog Show used to come on USA, okay?
Yeah.
And they would have it on at 10 in the morning.
Oh, okay? When I know what show is supposed to be on at that time.
And it would bump my syndicated Wings show.
Oh, Wings,
I would get
okay.
Wings at 10 and 10:30, but instead, you come in and you're like, yes, let's see what Brian and Joe Hackett are up to today.
I thought you were going to say American Gladiators.
No. I respect that as well. I mean, back in the day, you used to get Press Your Luck reruns on USA. And I told
no
you
whammy.
This, back in the day, the Masters used to be on USA. I've actually enjoyed, now that NBC Sports Network is a thing of the past, they got rid of it, they're putting more stuff either on Golf Channel or on USA. So there was something recently on USA. I was like, this feels like back in the day when we would watch the Masters on USA.
Yeah, Premier League Soccer on there.
Yeah, so they had the Westminster Dog Show on USA, and I hated it because that meant I wasn't going to get to see Wings. But now I have a dog, and every time we turn on the Westminster Dog Show, my dog ends up going crazy, either barking at the dogs or staring at them, so it's kind of cool. So I've come to like the dog show even more. But we have awarded a winner in the Westminster Dog Show. It is, drum roll please, just kidding, I don't even know if we have a drum roll sound.
We don't.
It is Trumpet the Bloodhound. Da, da, da. So yes, Trumpet the Bloodhound took in Best in Show at the 146. I mean, it's a good looking dog, kind of droopy around the neck.
That's a bloodhound?
Yes.
Okay.
We also...
Wait, his name's Trumpet?
Yes.
I have sounds for Trumpet.
Trumpet, bum, yeah. Ba-da-da. Dun, 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 dun. Today in Westminster Dog News, Trumpet the Bloodhound is your winner. Congratulations. Runner-up, which I believe they call Best in Show Reserve.
Oh, okay.
In the dog world. Have you ever seen the mockumentary Best in Show?
No.
It's fantastic. You have to go watch it. And speaking of which, I've heard there's a good sports mockumentary out called Players on Netflix.
Okay.
That's about, it's like done in the style of like a intense 30 for 30, mm-hmm. but it's on esports, and it's a parody. It's not a real documentary of esports, but like you could watch it and think it might be, right?
What's it called?
Players.
Players?
Yes.
All right, I need to check that out.
So you need to check it out. But yes, one of the greatest mockumentaries of all time is Best in Show. You should watch that too. But Best in Show Reserve was Winston the French Bulldog at the Westminster Dog Show. Group winners in the toy group, Hollywood the Maltese. Toy, that's a nice word for small. In the non-sporting group, I don't know what that's a nice word for. Winston the French Bulldog was the winner. In the herding group, that's a nice word for scary. I don't know.
Okay.
River the German Shepherd was the herding group winner. Sporting group was Belle the English Setter. Working group, that's a nice word for huge dogs. Striker the Samoyed. I don't even know what kind of dog that is. Samoyed, the Samoyed. I'm not a dog person, even though I have two now. The Terrier group.
This is all terriers.
Misconceived, the Lakeland Terrier. All right, those are your winners. Congratulations. But even more deserving of their award, and I realize that we are a radio show, but also we are on TV, so I should have given you this as a slide that maybe you could have put up there on the streaming there. I am sure I don't have the credentials, the qualifications to be a Westminster dog judge. So if I was out there and I was supposed to be, I don't know what you're supposed to do, like check their hindquarters, pat their mange. I'm making things up. I don't know. Like,
are their nails clipped?
Is it their nails, their ears, their nose? Do they point correctly? I have no idea. So if I went out there and was supposed to pick the best dog out of all of them, I'm sure I would get it dead wrong according to the judges.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to think that with no training, I could have walked in as a judge to the world's ugliest The world's ugliest dog competition in Petaluma, California, And I would have picked out Mr. Happy Face, who was the eventual winner.
Wait, hold on. The dog's name is Mr. Happy Face?
You have to see this thing.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. This is from the New York Times, and shout out to the author, Alex Traub, here. Out of a field that included a, quote, hairless mutant with no teeth and a crooked face, a creature that resembled a hyena or mandrill baboon, and a canine with a gorilla-looking head, a Chihuahua mix named Mr. Happy Face emerged on Friday as the foulest of them all, winner of the 2022 World's Ugliest Dog Contest. It goes on. Mr. Happy Face, who once, this is just sad, but who once lived in an abusive and neglectful conditions with a hoarder, has tumors and neurological issues, requires a diaper, struggles to stand upright or walk, and holds his head askew. I mean, the dog is like permanently crooked to the side with the tongue out. Yet he has reached the age of about 17, sports a natural mohawk, makes a sound like a Dodge Ram diesel truck revving its engine when he is happy. According to an online biography, it was clear and obvious that Mr. Happy Face deserves to be a champion. Deborah Matthey, one of the contest judges, said on Saturday, adding the judges did not even bother debating who should win. All the obstacles this dog overcame physically in his past life, it's amazing. Go check out The World's Ugliest Dog. Again, with all due respect, and as they say, this dog is a survivor, okay? So much respect to this dog for surviving the terrible conditions that it was in and the cancer and the neurological problems it has had. But there is no other way to describe Mr. Happy Face than ugly. It is one of the grossest living things I have ever seen, and I absolutely love it.
Not going to lie, it's kind
of
hideous.
It's like a gremlin. Like, it truly looks like a gremlin with, like, a tuft of hair. And I can understand how the judges, like, walked in the room, and they were like, this is over. Like, it's, I don't need to see anybody else. This is the world's ugliest dog. Mr. Happy Face is the winner. So, while I may not have been able to pick Trumpet the Bloodhound out of a stacked field at the 146th Westminster Dog Show, and I don't even know what kind of sound we make for Mr. Happy Face, I guarantee you, I don't even need to see the other dogs, and I'm telling you, I would have picked Mr. Happy Face. Mr. Happy Face. I mean, I don't know if you're allowed to, like, repeat as World's Ugliest Dog.
I mean,
because I don't see how you come take the throne away from Mr. Happy Face. As long as he's living, he is the ugliest possible dog that could be alive. So congratulations to Mr. Happy Face and his owner, who wins $1,500 and a trip to New York City to appear on the Today Show. Obviously, the contest does good things. It, like, promotes the adoption of dogs that don't look great. It is not just a contest to sit and laugh at ugly dogs. But let me tell you something. If you need a smile today, go check out the cuteness and ugliness that is Mr. Happy Face.
I do have another dog-related story, specific to sports. Yes, a more dog story. So, in a weekend matchup between Chile and Venezuela, a friendly of the women's soccer teams of those two countries, a black lab came running down onto the field.
Okay.
And in about the 36th minute, dog actually finds its way on the pitch and goes up to the Chilean goalie and just lays down and says, hey, pet me. Come to here and pet me. Then runs to the ref and just lays down and is like, hey, pet me, and just love me.
Did
stop play for a little while.
Did they roll over on their back?
Yeah, they rolled over on their back, yeah.
That's what my dog would do. My dog greets people by rolling over on her back, even though she's 120 pounds and could probably push over most of the people that come to her. She loves to, like, run at you, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is terrifying, what's happening? And then my dog, like, rolls over at your feet. He's like, no, I just wanted some belly rubs. Soccer's always weird. They, like, let things, like, you know, people throw toilet paper on the field, and, like, the goalie just picks it up and throws it off, the play just continues.
Yeah.
If my dog got on the field and in the goal, good luck to who's ever shooting, because my dog is a fantastic goalie.
Oh, really?
Air Bud wants none of my dog's smoke. Air Dog will absolutely, my dog, Joey, will take Air Bud's place as goalie for the soccer team. I don't know if she can play basketball or hit home runs, but when it comes to the one where the Air Bud was a goalie, My dog could legit do that. We've played that game. And she could take a shot. I've ripped a soccer ball just right off her face. She's unfazed.
Okay.
She jumps back in. Not on purpose. I'm like,
I mean, okay.
We're trying to play. That's but like, fine. I've accidentally hit her hard. She's like, nah, unfazed. Let's go.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
With the few minutes we have remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly, rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated. My love.
Should we throw sunflower seeds in Rightly Rated since they got thrown out on a baseball field?
Why not?
Let's start with sunflower seeds.
Okay.
We had sunflower seeds getting shot putted in an Angels-Mariners game. Again, I don't even know if this is before a fight, after a fight, the thing that caused the fight, whatever it was. But it was the record shot put for sunflower seeds onto a field we've ever seen. Sunflowers. Do we have what it sounded like?
That is the furthest shot put of sunflower seeds in history.
Yeah, and they have a nice slow-mo capture of it. Just sunflowers. Are they overrated, underrated, or rightly rated, Dennis?
Sunflowers, I think, are rightly rated. Sunflowers are rightly rated.
All right, I meant to say sunflower seeds. Oh. And sunflower is also the national flower of Ukraine. So you gotta grow sunflowers for support. Sunflowers, what about sunflower seeds?
Rightly rated.
I think you're probably right there. All right, next up, jetpacks. Are jetpacks overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because a pilot in Los Angeles claims he saw a man with a jetpack flying at 4,500 feet. Now, to give you some context of how high that is, that's about, I flew on a private small plane to the Final Four in New Orleans, and we were somewhere between like 4 and 5,000, maybe 6,000 feet for a lot of the time. And so, I mean, it's not crazy, but like, I wouldn't have wanted to fall out of the plane at that height, let's just say.
Yeah,
right? So 4,500 feet, pretty high up in the air. Are jetpacks overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Well, the DC comic character Adam Strange had a jetpack, underrated.
What? Adam Strange? Is that Doctor Strange?
No, this is DC Comics, not Marvel.
Wait, so they both have a Strange?
Yeah.
Who had theirs first? That feels like it's
DC
cheating.
DC did.
All right. I got to go jetpacks underrated.
I don't know if underrated.
Have you seen the... We now have those like water jetpacks that allow you to sort of travel over water. Have you seen the military practice?
Yeah.
Like a video come out of them going from like boat to boat. So like if they wanted to like take over your boat like pirates, they'd have like guns and they would just come in on jetpacks. And just that was a cool video. I enjoyed that. All right, next up on Rightly Rated, crab whiskey. I'm going to let you go either way on this one. Crabs or whiskey. Overrated, underrated, or rightly rated. This comes up. Because somebody is making crab whiskey. From the AP, care for a hint of crab in your whiskey? A New Hampshire distillery has come up with its newest concoction called Crab Trapper, whiskey flavored with invasive green crabs. Now, I guess because they're invasive, everybody's okay with picking them up because they're not supposed to be there. Tamsworth Distilling, a maker of craft spirits, is making Crab Trapper. Crab whiskey, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Or you can do crab or whiskey, whichever one you want to do.
I'm going to go crabs. A lot of people in Maryland like crabs, and Maryland left the ACC overrated.
The company said the body of this peculiar brew has hints of maple, vanilla oak, clove, cinnamon, and allspice. None of those things make me think crab. Crabs on their own, probably rightly rated. They're not underrated. Some people think they're so awesome, and they're fine. Also, should be noted that Tamworth Distilling in the past has produced a whiskey with the secretion from beaver's castor sacs. Last year, it was turkey over the holidays, and before that, notoriously pungent smell of durian. So they get weird with their whiskey. I'm going crab whiskey, no thanks.
Yeah, pass.
And finally, on Rightly Rated, Diddy. Is Diddy overrated, underrated or rightly rated. This comes up because at the BET Awards last night, he was given a Lifetime Achievement Award. Jay-Z gave an intro. Kanye West showed up to talk about how great Diddy was.
Did he say Beyonce should have won?
They did. No. They did a cameo. I mean, not a cameo. A montage. A medley. There we are.
There it is.
A medley of all his songs with, like, all these big-name current artists involved in it to celebrate him. Diddy, is he overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? Cox.
Rightly rated.
I mean, for a while, he was overrated. And then you step back and you're like, darn it, Diddy did kind of change the game.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to love him to say he might be a little bit underrated now.
I don't know. His top NFL draft prospect in draft day fell all the way to 7th or 6th. So, yep. No, overrated.
You haven't forgotten that one, nope. Have you? I mean, as a rapper alone, he's probably overrated. As a rap entity, he's underrated.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.